And as I stated, we do have a speaker, and Jackie's going to introduce him for us.
Very
Jackie,
nice.
it's all yours.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you for your service. Thank you, everyone doing service. Thank you all for being here. Our speaker tonight is one of my oldest friends. Going back through 20 odd years of recovery and several years of our using together. It was nice to meet up last year where he lives by the seaside, and he's doing well, and I'm really, really glad to introduce my friend John. Thank you all. Love you all.
Thanks, Jax. My name's John. I'm an addict.
Hey,
Hi,
John.
John.
Hello,
Hey,
hello,
Jay.
Paul. Thanks for
Welcome to the meeting.
asking me.
Hello, John.
This has been planned for about 2 or 3 months, and I'm doing a bit better than I was. I mean, I'm still clean. I'm 3 years, 2 months, and a bit of change, But what it was, I started coming to an age like 23 years ago, and I suppose every time I relapsed, when I come back, I changed a bit more, and I got a bit more desperate, and I got a bit more willing, and I applied a little bit more of the program, and I kind of changed a little bit every time I come back. But this time, I've got to work the program. Who knew? Who knew? I've got to work the program. So when I got asked to do this share, basically I was doing I when my step four come about, and I was doing my step four because of all the kind of trauma, abuse, and all that stuff. I was revisiting. I started gambling, and took me to a really dark place. And I'm glad to say now I'm not gambling, and I've stopped smoking tobacco. Even though it's not about tobacco, you know what I mean? But I had a bit of a health scare, and it scared me, man. And when doctors go, "Oh, you really shouldn't be smoking. It's going to kill you. It's going to give you cancer." But this person meant it. She goes, "You've got a chronic infection in your lungs." And she goes, "What I mean by chronic is it's been going on for years. That's why you keep coughing up grey sputum," which sounds disgusting, and it is. It is. And she said, and in 10, 15 years' time, you'll feel like a new man if you give up smoking." I thought, 15 years? Flipping out. But then I thought, actually, she sounds like she's not just saying it because she's paid to say it. She means what she means her job. She there was feeling in what she was saying. So I kind of listened to her. It was an Asian doctor. She's got to have been like 35. She's really young. I thought, wow, you've kind of in that time you've hacked into getting qualified as being a doctor. I've totally ruined my life. Do you know what I mean? And some. So I was born in London. I'll start from a bit of my story. I was born in London. In Woolwich, and I kind of grew up for the first 15 years in Middlesex, in Harrow, and well, Stanmore. And it sounds really posh because it's a Jewish area, but I was in the council estate, so it wasn't posh. So I suppose like my the thing. I mean, I was abused. Sexually, physically, well, sexually by 3 different people, abused physically and And it really, I'm not trying to trauma dump, do you know what I mean? But the thing that, because I accept that stuff, do you know what I mean? I accept that stuff. But my dad leaving at the age of four kind of broke me, do you know what I mean? I accept the other stuff because by the time that happened, it started happening when I was seven. And it's like, yeah, I kind of believed that I deserved it because my dad didn't love me. Do you know what I mean? It was like it's my fault because my dad didn't love me. Do you know what I mean? So I kind of blamed myself for my dad leaving, even though I was only four. And I remember listening to my mum like crying every night, and yeah, I was worried about it. Do you know what I mean? At the age of four, but yeah, so it broke me. So I didn't have someone to kind of tell me how to be a man, to be there for my, like, when I got married. And yeah, Jackie knows my ex-wife. And because we lived in the same town. We lived in the same town. Yeah, like, she was quite controlling, to be honest, but I've never really got over her. I mean, 19 years later, I'm still thinking I want to be with my ex-wife still. Do you know what I mean? But yeah. So, like, when my dad left when I was four, I remember how I, at that moment, at that point, getting into fantasy and being dishonest, all from that situation. Do you know what I mean? And stealing at the age of four, dishonest at the age of four, fantasy. Yeah, I still get that now. It's like fantasy addiction. Do you know what I mean? It's just another addiction. But I only heard it called an addiction last night. I didn't know it was an addiction. I just thought it was escapism, but I suppose it is kind of an addiction. I remember at the age of like six or seven thinking, oh, what would it be like to live in Debbie Lush's house with a mum and dad who both worked with? They were bloody happy, them daughters, do you know what I mean? They were happy then. Well, I mean, to the outside world, do you know what I mean? They looked like the ideal family. And I thought, I wonder what it would be like to live with them and with a mum and dad. I mean, my mum worked. And I had stepdads, and I resented them. I resented them. I thought, you stole my mum away from me. Do you know what I mean? That's what I thought. But yeah, I kind of, yeah, because like my brother's dad, who's younger than me, my brother, his dad used to beat me up with a leather belt. So all the time, like when it'd go down the pub, and if his shoes weren't shining. Yeah, and stuff like that. If my elbows were on the table, if I was eating with my mouth full, and I'd get the belt, you know, and I'd with leather strap, and he'd strap it a few times, and it's a main share, Hayley. It's a main share. Yeah, he'd strap it a few times, and yeah, and then it hit me with it, and yeah, so I resented him, and he got kicked out by my mum because he was going mental at me again at the table, and because like it was always a thing, food was always a thing. I wouldn't eat cold meat. I wouldn't eat things with fat, gristle, veins, skin, anything like that. So it's put me off a lot of food. I'm quite traumatized by food later on in life, and I can use food now. Do you know what I mean? I can overeat, undereat, or starve myself, or whatever. That's another thing that's come about. But yeah, I suppose I took my first substance around 11, and I mean, I drank years before that. I had my first drink when I was about two, but I took my first like dr drug, another drug, when I was 11, and it took away my thinking and my feeling, and I thought, ah, oh, I've got to do this forever. I have got to do this forever, because it seemed like I found the cure. Do you know what I mean? The cure that kind of solved my head. And yeah, and I progressed. And when I came to NA in 2022, it was the 25th of February. I mean, 2002, 25th of February. I put everything down, and I came in on everything else but Class A's, and I stayed clean for 6.5 years. And all I could hear was the voice in my head that I didn't really understand, was the addict telling me that I wasn't enough, that I didn't fit in, that I'm not sufficient. And because everyone kind of glamorized these certain Class A drugs, and or that's what it felt like. And people would, some people would laugh when I'm sharing, because they'd see me as not a sufficient addict enough or whatever. And but the voice in my head was doing that as well. So after 6.5 years, oh, I forgot to say it. I started the local NA meeting in 2003 in the area me and Jackie lived, and done service for about five years or whatever. And Jackie done service there, and it started growing. And yeah, it was kind of, I loved it. I loved getting the shares from London and Norwich and all over. And every week was kind of a different share at one point. And I was half-heartedly doing the steps. I had a sponsor, and I thought, well, I hate myself. I don't want you to hate me as well. So I lied in the step work. I just told complete fabrications, and yeah, I hate myself, man. And it's taken five or six relapses to change every time I've come back to kind of, I mean, last time I got thoroughly honest, and this time I got thoroughly honest. And last time I got up to 5.5 years, and because I was changing an antidepressant with the help of the doctors, like the In Times of Illness booklet says with NA, I was doing as it was supposed to be done, and I never slept for 24 days, which turned me insane. I'm schizophrenic. It turned me insane. So I was listening to voices in my head after 24 days with no sleep. And all of a sudden, I've got this prison officer in my head saying, look, John, we've got your step four. You are going to Brixton Prison. You will be killed. You might as well take an overdose. So I took 140 tablets, 6 o'clock in the morning. Walked down to the sea because I was going to drown myself, but Tesco's was on the way. So I stopped. I thought, fuck, I might as well just drink now. Do you know what I mean? Make a good job of killing myself after all them tablets. Then I collapsed in the street. And didn't make it to the sea. I was on the seafront, but didn't make it to the sea. And next thing I know, I'm in an ambulance, and in A&E, getting my bloods done, psychotic, listening to my step four in everyone else's conversation in the emergency room, accident and emergency, and it was really scary. And then this member come up to me. She's got to be 17 years clean or something. She was a member of staff at the hospital. She just come up to me. She didn't say a word to me. She just stroked my head for about what seemed like half hour, and she didn't say a word to me. And I've since spoke to her. She goes, yeah, I work there. I read your notes, and yeah, we've kind of spoke about it. But yeah, so that was scary. And And then by that point, oh no, and then next 4 days I used, because by this point my drug of choice kind of progressed into the class day stuff, and I'd been doing them for the last 15 or so years. Every time I relapsed, I went back to that. And I mean, after the first relapse, I in the end I was doing dirty needles, do you know what I mean? So, and that was after 6.5 years, when me and Jackie were doing recovery together. Yeah, so every time I relapsed after that, it was straight back to that. Do you know what I mean? But the good thing is, NA is not drug specific. It's about your problem and how we can help. It doesn't have to get that far. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, it's just that I have to kind of, I don't know why I have to learn by my own mistakes. People were telling me all this time, like, oh, don't do it, you'll end up where I was. But I kind of had to push the boundaries and learn by my own mistakes for some stupid reason. But yeah, as I say, it's about your problem and how we can help. I know someone who's got a problem, an addiction with antihistamines, and she's an NA member. So it's kind of, it's literally, it's it doesn't have to go that far. And whatever substance you have, it can go that far with whatever substance, do you know what I mean? So, and so this time round, I'm doing the steps, and I've got a sponsor in the USA, and he's in Texas. And I listened to people's backstory. I had the 10-year rule or a 15-year rule that you had to be in recovery for at least 10, 15 years before I'd ask you to sponsor me, because I thought, obviously, I thought I was special and different. Like, I don't know what I did, but I thought, I don't want to be gossiped around my hometown. And like, when I was doing my step four, I thought, is he recording it? Is he going to phone the police? Do you know what I mean? All this stuff came up for me. And I started gambling when I was doing my step four because I was so scared. So yeah, not at ease with myself, man. I mean, it's haunted me for years, my kind of backstory stuff. And but now I've got freedom, and I've got honest, and I've been thoroughly honest. Yeah. And I've done my step five, and I'm just about to start my step six, and I haven't gambled or smoked a cigarette for a week today, which I'm over the moon about, because I've been smoking. I had my first cigarette when I was four, then I started smoking when I was nine, and I properly started smoking when I was 11, like full on. And so that's, yeah, 39 years and 50 now. And I don't want to have a lung infection, and I don't want to, yeah, there's so many benefits to not doing it, but I'm not here to preach about that. It's about your journey, do you know what I mean? My journey's got to take this route. One of my close mates has just given up smoking as well, and that's one of the things that stopped me doing it before. So I thought, how can I get a lift off him to my mum's house when he's going to be smoking for 2 hours? And then it was my sponsor's funeral, and he died of emphysema, and that wasn't enough to stop me. Do you know what I mean? He died during the COVID, and yeah, so I caved in. So I've even paid like £100 hypnosis for stopping smoking. I've tried Champix, I've tried patches and lozenges and all sorts, and now I'm doing it again. But the thing is, I've got a positive mental attitude this time, and I feel motivated by the positivity in my mind, which I never had before. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, I've got an amazing sponsor. He hasn't judged me, he didn't record me, he's trustworthy. And because of my step four and five, we've grown to be friends, and it's like the trust is there now. I didn't trust him before my step four, but I thought, oh, I've got no choice. I trust that he's 37 years clean, and that if he can do that, and because he's LGBT, I know that's a bit too much information, but I thought he's got his own demons to deal with, or had. Do you know what I mean? So I thought his guilt and shame and my guilt and shame kind of add up to the same. Do you know what I mean? Because the first time I got into recovery, in that 6.5 years, I would do things that really went against my moral compass for gambling. Do you know what I mean? I would do anything to kind of change how I felt. I had a £1,000 a day habit on gambling. But I was clean. I was living a lie. I wasn't free. I wasn't free. I wasn't going to be honest in step work. I'd go to meetings, talk about yoga, tai chi, and meditation, and go home and be angry about dinner. Do you know what I mean? I wasn't well. I didn't see how not well I was. But yeah, I'm happy. I'm in recovery now, and as I say, I'm 3 years, 2 months and a bit, and I'm going to be working on a program, and I do want to chat. I suppose the one thing I do want to change, I've kind of stopped it the last few months, but I've always been a class clown. So, and I'm 50 now. Do you know what I mean? There is no class. Do you know what I mean? There's no class times two. There's no class and there's no class. So I've got to stop telling jokes. It's all a deflection. Do you know what I mean? It's all deflection. It's different when you're having a conversation with someone, but when you're going on meetings, like kind of doing one-liners and trying to, what's behind that? Is there pain? Is it discomfort? Is it anger? Is it, because there's always something with me. Do you know what I mean? If I'm saying some kind of I'll make you laugh thing, what's going on for me? Do you know what I mean? And I've known that for years, that it's a deflection. I get sick of myself. Do you know what I mean? So, right. So, I've banned myself from every single gambling establishment in my local area. Can't go in Corals or Ladbrokes throughout the UK because they got facial recognition, and I've blocked myself from there as well. I've blocked myself nearly as far as Bristol, which is quite close to here. And my head's been free for the last week, and I know it don't seem long, but I needed that to be done because I didn't trust myself. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm powerless. I'm just as powerless over that as I am class A's, or we don't even have to be class A's. Do you know what I mean? At one point, I was a cannabis smoker, but I kind of lived it. I lived the life. It was a sociable thing. It was my whole life. Do you know what I mean? Whatever I do, like Jackie as well, whatever I do it to the extent. Do you know what I mean? There's no middle ground for me. I have to kind of, I'm committed. Do you know what I mean? Until I am committed. And saying that, I used to go in psychiatric wards, and one of them was called G8. And at that time, my nickname was G8 John, because like people would call me G8 John because like, I was schizophrenic, and they named me after the mental health ward. And I hated that because like, I was walking down the road in the local town, where me and Jackie lived, and someone at the top of the road's gone, "Oi, G8, how's your paranoia?" And I dived into a shop. I was like, "Oh my God!" Do you know what I mean? Like, I was horrified. I thought it was fucking all right till you did that. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, that was a horrible. Horrible 5 minutes that was. But I've kept coming back. Do you know what I mean? And I've even said in meetings, I don't want to be told to keep coming back. And when you say that, people start going, I'll keep coming back, John, and like kind of take the piss out of you. But yeah, it's like, but it's only your pride, isn't it? It's your pride and your ego. Like, because I built up such a pride and ego, because like I started meeting up, I thought I was come to my meeting. No, come to 1A. It's not my meeting, it's your meeting, it's our meeting. Do you know what I mean? But it's not come to my meeting. I personalized it and kind of, this is what I've grown. This is what, do you know what I mean? All that rubbish, man, it's nothing to do with me. I've broke traditions along the way. That's how I've learned about traditions. Do you know what I mean? I remember one of the meetings was a meditation meeting, but it had certain philosophy. And then an old timer who was like 30 years in goes, John, you can't use that philosophy because otherwise, is it a 12-step meeting? Is it a Narcotics Anonymous meditation? I mean, is it a Narcotics Anonymous or a 12-step meditation? I said, no, it's this certain philosophy. He goes, you got to close the meeting. He goes, or kind of have a different topic. He goes, because you can't do that, you're breaking traditions. And I'm like, I was gutted, but it was my pride. It was my pride. I didn't know that I was breaking traditions. I just thought it's a meditation meeting. And that's why a lot of meditation meetings are just a candle and a dark room. Do you know what I mean? Or silence, or because you can't have a certain philosophy as a meditation meeting with having it as Narcotics Anonymous, because it's not. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, so as I said, like I used to go to Tai Chi, I used to go to yoga and all that, and I'd talk about spirituality, and people would go, oh, John, that was such a spiritual share. I didn't realize my ego was growing. So, yeah, I'm really spiritual. But once you start saying that to yourself, you've lost it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, it's like Eckhart Tolle used to say, like, once you're in the moment, say, oh, I'm in the present moment. Once you say that, you've lost it. Do you know what I mean? Comes in through the back door. That's what he says. But anyway, I've piped up for far, excuse the pun. I've gone on for far too long. And yeah, I hope someone got something from that. And I'm quite excited about the future with the steps. It doesn't feel like it's 23 years. It feels like I've started again, and I'm open to the future. Which is amazing, really, because I thought I'd be bored of it by now, but I'm not. I never get bored of it. Anyway, thank you for listening to me. And anyone new, struggling, keep coming back. And it does work. It does work if you work it. I know it sounds like a cheesy cliche, but it does. Anyway, thanks, guys.